Today we're going to be reading Psalm 95 and see what the Lord has for us there. And reading Psalm 95, it says, "It's a call to worship and obedience. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." And that's verse 1. And I take note of the words "shout joyfully." And it reminds me that God has created us with feelings and emotions. And there are times when we're excited about something and we make a joyful shout or a joyful noise. And the writer here of Psalm 95 is giving instruction that we are to shout joyfully to the Lord. God desires when we express those types of feelings and emotions for His glory. It is certainly right to do so. Verse 2, "Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms." Again, the phrase "shout joyfully." Can we worship God that way? There are times when there is cause to be sad or sorrowful, but certainly, according to Scripture, we are also commanded to rejoice and to be joyful because of what God has done for us. Through Jesus Christ, He's redeemed us, and that is more than enough reason to make a joyful noise and sing joyfully. Verse 3, "For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land." Verse 4 and 5, or 3, 4 and 5, speak of His majesty and His power, the works that He created, the earth and all that is in it, the sea and all that is in it, the hills and the valleys. He made it all, and He made it all to be inhabited. There's fish and creatures in the sea, and there's different creatures on the mountaintops, and there's other creatures that live in the low places down by the rivers and the swampy areas. And verse 6, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand." Verses 6 and 7. A call to worship is what we have here. And then it shifts to a call to obedience, continuing in verse 7. "Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion," referring to the rebellion in of the children of Israel, I believe, there in the wilderness when they tested the Lord. "Do not harden your hearts as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation, and said, 'It is a people who go astray in their heart, and they do not know my ways.' So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." A solemn warning here, and a call to obedience of a people that God showed Himself strong to, or on in behalf of. God did some of His most amazing miracles there that are recorded in Scripture in the eyes of the children of Israel when they were in Egypt and escaping from Egypt. They saw amazing things through Moses there. And yet, they continually attested God and had divided loyalties. They would profess to believe in God, and then when things became difficult, they would turn against the Lord and against Moses, his servant. And finally, God said, as I read in verse 10, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. Stephen there, recorded in Acts, said that in their hearts they turned back to Egypt because they remembered the things that they had in Egypt, and they forgot the difficult parts and remembered the good parts, supposed good parts, that they had food to eat and could not or refused to believe God and trust in his provision until the Lord said, he said, I swore in my wrath, I shall not enter my rest. And so they could not enter into the land of Canaan that he was had purposed to lead them to because of their unbelief. The Hebrew writer quotes this passage as well, this call to obedience, almost word for word there. And in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, and he ascribes the scripture as coming from the Holy Spirit. He says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today you will hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, and continues from there the verses that are in Psalm 95. And then after that, in Hebrews 3:12, he writes, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And so we saw here that God was grieved, it says in Psalms, it was grieved. In our translation here, the Hebrew writer, what the translation that he had or the translation we have renders it here that God was angry with that generation. So grieved or angry, I believe that there's reason to think that God may be grieved or even angry today with people that profess to believe. When faced with crisis, just like the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they from time to time were faced with a crisis. They were facing something that they had not faced before, and they just didn't believe that God would provide for them. When they ran out of water, ran out of food, different situations, they would just cry out in resentment or despair, think that it's just going to be all bad, and they would have been better off staying in Egypt, and all such nonsense. And how is it today, my friend, when we have a crisis, an unexpected situation come upon us that we can't see our way clear, can't see our way through, we don't know how this is going to work out, do we wring our hands and blame people, blame the government, blame our leaders, blame our neighbors, whatever it might be, blame someone? Or can we just simply believe and trust God that he will supply our needs, that he will make a way forward? His says, do not harden your heart. That means soften. Let your heart be soft and yielded to whatever God has for us. Whatever God has for you today, let it be for good. Let it work out for good. Let's not harden our hearts and resist what God has allowed. Satan cannot do anything without God's permission, what God allows. And so if God has allowed something, then sometimes it's for a reason to see if we will exercise faith. And by exercising faith, our faith becomes stronger. And we have more faith. And we will see the Lord's deliverance as he has promised. He will not leave us or forsake us. That's what I have for today, the scriptures that speak to me, and perhaps they can be an encouragement to us, to you as well. In Jesus' name, God bless you.